have to deal with some real difficult stuff here. Not difficult intellectually, but difficult in ourselves, because we're products of Western society. Whether we like to admit that or not, we very much are a product of the of Greek culture. And as we've mentioned many times here, the Greeks won. That whole Hanukkah story, if you look around, you'll see that our whole lives are very influenced by Greek culture, Greek thinking, Christian culture, Christian thinking. And we are products of that society. When you start trying to disentangle yourself and try and stand NATO as being what a heat is, it's very hard for us to find that place, because, as we mentioned yesterday, the unique concern of this generation is the inability instinctively to see the difference. Our grandparents knew the difference. It wasn't something they had to work on. They had other things to work on. Things that when we look at them, we think, like, how did they have any sewing? We don't understand how they could have had any sewing with something like communism. We look at communism today and we think, wow, how could you have left after that? But that was their new sewing. They didn't have any sign of being Jewish. We have any sign today of just what it means to be Jewish. And it doesn't mean just look Jewish. There are lots of things that look Jewish that are not. We have to be careful. So going forward, there's a lot of difficult work yet to be done, and let's get busy with it. So yesterday we spoke about a little bit about what things looked like before. Just trying to give a little bit of the background to what we're talking about. That there was this clear demarcation, this clear distinction between what the Jewish world was, what the Jewish world was, and there was an intrinsic simcha of being Jewish, of a Jewish pride, let's call it kosher Jewish gaiva, that existed. and as we'll see now, things are not exactly like that anymore. Kuf Tes Vav, that's where we're holding. Am Hadoyim Elochomor. The Doyven Leif, Itrachesh Mafach Bedoyus Achredim, Chalshinu Bo'elam. You'll have noticed that there's been a big change in the world. He says, the Doyven Leif, to our deep distress, there's been a complete Mahafach, a complete revolution, transformation. Agoy Hara Achzari, הגוי המקל אלו רחם, אס אישתו ולודו, הפריץ השיקו, ואפילו מגדל חזרים היחב, הפכו, this guy that our grandparents, the previous generations had to deal with, he was essentially a low-life peasant, he used to beat them, he used to do pogroms, he used to, well, we've read the stories, we know what our ancestors went through at the hands of the guy, whether he was supposedly a sophisticated looking guy. But there was just some kind of low-life peasant. The Poritz was always drunk. He used to torment and make the lives of the Yidden under his rule, his feudal rulership, a misery. That's changed. That's changed, ridiculously changed. Hem hofchu le-legentim, nimusim, tarbutim, adivim, nevushim, machzoitz, vali b'nevers. He's become today a very sophisticated, elegant person. We've all had encounters with him. We've had intelligent conversations with him. I mean, when I was growing up as a kid, the doctor we used to go to for Kufa, there was a doctor who was a guy, he was a lovely man. He used to do house calls. He used to come to our house in the middle of the night when someone was sick. More fine person. Nothing. That means that your natural boundary between you and the guy, not anymore. Not you anymore. When the pirates used to come to the Yid's house or send somebody to the Yid's house to drag him out of bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and schlep him off to the tavern and make him dance on the table or sing, that's what they used to do, and keep him there and whatever. And if they didn't like the way he sang, they used to beat him up. If they liked the way he sang, they used to send him home. He never had any problem of wanting to be like the boy. He hated him instinctively. Today we don't have that. Not that you're supposed to hate them, because for I'm not saying that's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying the boundary between of the Atav isn't existing naturally anymore. Why is a Shah, he trained 9 Ayudiot, Lipsul the Avra Goya Matzliach, a high Chaydet Neonamas? We started casting glances over the world to the Goyish world that looks quite attractive. You know, for 1 second, you know, maybe they've got something going for them. The the nastiness, the behemothype of the goy wasn't there anymore. You can't see it anymore. And the walls between the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world start crumbling. At Hatmugoga Hagaiva Yudit Vinitenis Litzarena Lumusoilo. That intrinsic, inner, natural, whatever word you want to use, Jewish pride, proper Jewish pride. Not about nationalism, yeah, that's a whole shear on its own. We have to have that shear sometime to deal with that problem. No, we're talking about the net effect that I'm a Yid. I stood at Asina and I'm a Yid, and Hashem chose me. B'chor Yisrael, B'shmidin Evro'ilam. That all started getting transferred into wanting to go off and see what wonderful world is available to the goy, and maybe I can also have a piece of it. Not give up my Yiddishkeit, I can still be an ass from Jew, but I can also have a lot of the pleasures of the goyish world. The boundaries became blurred, and we started living in that blur. It's a whole discussion, and it's a very, very beautiful, deep discussion of what happens when Yidden don't use the koyach they were given. Now that koyach gets given to the goyim, and we have to go get it back from them. That's a moedik, a wonderful discussion. Also the subject one day maybe for a breakfast show, even here, we can discuss it. That's a very important discussion. When we stop being mavdil, when we stop being a mavdil between us and the goyim, when we start thinking all the same, when the goyim start being mavdil, goyim don't have a koyach of Avdala. Avdala is a product of das, only the Yidden have a thing called das. And to make Avdala, that takes a Yid. So when we stop making Avdala, when we stop distinguishing between us and the goyim get that koyach. They use that koyach to be mavdil for us. That's what anti-Semitism is. Anti-Semitism starts when we stop maintaining the boundaries, the goy comes to put up the boundaries. So that's all share on its own, that's all discussion on its own. Fascinating discussion. It's a midrash. It starts with Shabbos Lamaisa. It says Yesh was Sheves ala Kiseh. He sat on the throne. The Midrash wants to know, where did Achashverosh get the Koyach of Sheves from? Sheves from Shabbos. Shabbos is a Koyach of a Yid. So Hashem tells them, I can't remember exactly what happened, how does it go in the Midrash there, Midrash in Megillah. He says, Klal Yisrael on keeping Shabbos, so I gave that Koyach of Sheves to Achashverosh. Now that's where we learn this, you'll sort out from. Anyway, that's another discussion, and we need to have it sometime. It's a fundamental yusod, and it's very important, and you need to know that. All our koiches, we don't use it. The koich of Achdus, for example. We don't use the koich of Achdus. Only Klal Yisrael, the Maharal says, only Klal Yisrael has a koich to be one. The Shivim Umos are Shivim Umos. They are, by definition, disparate. That's part of the whole share of nationalism as well, from the Dola Flog already. They were supposed to be splintered and shattered, because if they would come together, nothing would stand in their way. It says so in the Pasuk. Nothing would stand in the way of the way if they would unite. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu keeps them disunited. That's why they still have to, you know, maintain their own culture, because if they would all get together and throw away all their silly differences, they would be unconquerable. So they have to be, so they're Shivim Umos. But at the center, the fulcrum of all of that is Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is a one, it's an entity. Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So when we don't use that koyach of achdus, that koyach gets given to the goyim. The goyim then unite against us. Chas v'chalila. That's another manifestation of this principle. There's many, many places. Okay, so that's what starts happening. This is the if you want to use the words of the Chumash there of Rashi, this is the Esav becoming Achi. This is the cruel, murderous Esav. You don't really have too much of an son of wanting to be like him. Nobody in the concentration camps had a yearning and a desire to follow in the ways of the Nazis, the Yimach Shmom. So now Esav starts becoming Achi, and he starts becoming very attractive and very magnetic, and we start looking to him to see where our Sheifas can go. The boundaries break down, our yearnings, our desires, aspirations start being influenced by the non-Jewish world, the non-Jewish culture, and this is a very difficult nesoyin. It's a very, very hard nesoyin. Lanu ki agoy hu amadoy melachomo. It was very poshut to us before, in the words of the Chumash, am hadoy melachomo. We'll see now. Yesh lo ritzoynes chomriim, the sheifas chomriyos. His sheifas are physical. His yearnings, his desires are for the physical world. Even his spiritual aspirations, if you strip them down, you'll see essentially are about physicality. And he knows that his job is completely different. Our job is to use the physical world to elevate it, to makadish it. It's not there for its own sake. And that's a major fundamental difference between us and them. V'hinei, kimat lepeta b'emtziyut ha-tikshoret, ha-media v'asakim, pitom, very suddenly, through the proliferation of communication, of media, of our business dealings with the goy, gilinu goy musubachen. We've met a new goy. We know what to do with him. We don't know how to fight with him. We don't know why we should be fighting with him. Mabaya is a nice guy, and he is. Ano aundim if they aitzis mula nisona chadash bedoreni. We don't know how to deal with this. See, our grandparents and I'm a grand business with them all the time. How else did you make a panosa? You try to make a panosa out of Yidden. That's not so posh. We used to make a panosa out of Goyim. So he used to go to the Goyim, used to speak to them. I remember they used to come to the house sometimes, whatever. For him, it wasn't any sign because he understood that he's him and it's me, and I'm never going to marry him, and I'm never going to. This is business. Business is business. So, yeah, sometimes you take a guy on a business lunch. That's business. For us, it's not so posh because our internal. Radar screen doesn't see the difference. You don't see the difference. And rightly so, we don't see the difference because it's designed that way that you don't see the difference. If you want to see the difference, you have to go and learn from Avraham Avinu how to determine, how to become a ger, how to step out of that world. So it becomes a big nisoyin, and since you and I have never had to deal with this before, we don't have a precedent, we don't have where to look. We don't know where to look. You ask your grandfather, we don't know what you're talking about. So how do you deal with this? It's a new nisoyin. You have to sort of like pick yourself up by your own bootstraps somehow. Lifnei shanim lo rabot, Yehudi lo haya naim lichto lezalzal b'mitzvah lisalem mikiyum minag. Lo prikus oil haimuna. Hayisa lo derech eretz klapi atzmoi v'klapi yadutoi. Until, once again, I'm not going to tell you that this is watertight. I'm not going to tell you that there were never pockets of difference to this. But generally speaking, the overall picture, let's say until 1900, just before the First World War, a Jew would never think to do an aveira or to be mezalzel in a mitzvah or some kind of a minag without prikus oil, haimuna. There was no such thing. Doesn't mean they were all perfect tzaddikim. They did aveiras, whatever. But a person would ever be mazir and throw something of his Yiddishkeit away without first being perfect oil. I said, "Oh, derech eretz klapay, but klapay d'tal. Yet, covered. Yet, derech eretz for himself and for his Yiddishkeit. Ulayim musugel inoyd ba'ifun shoyne me'emunosa. He couldn't live in contradiction to what his emuna knew. Ulichesh la'atzma. Tibuzu hamaskilim b'tchilas da'akon poga be'emuna or b'yisoyd nesina atoyin lamoishem isina. The early breaches, the first breaches in the world, the." Pirtzuchemus Migdalai of the beginning of the scholar, turn of the century, the last century, they started chippering with Torah Misina. They didn't come and say, let's have fun, let's go out, do whatever you want, the Kol Beseder. Because Kol's man, the Imunah, the deep Imunah that he had was intact. You couldn't get into Zaz. If a person in those days wanted, and we know the stories about, wanted to not be involved in Yiddish, but he had to kind of like, he had to throw it all away, join the Christians, baptize himself, go live on the outskirts. He was nobody had anything to do with him. He was the lowlife. We've read many stories of built around this guy, and he would go and get into trouble, and he would try and win favor with the guy, because they didn't like him either, because they knew that you couldn't trust this guy either. So but that's what you had to do. You couldn't carry on living the way we live and at the same time be poetic oil as the lawyer sheikh. So the first attacks from the Haskalah didn't come from guys wearing jeans and t-shirt and smoking and shabbos. That's where it came from. No one would have listened to that. That was ridiculous. The first reformers that arrived in Yerushalayim in the 1800s that came here to start with Haskalah, the late 1800s, before the, just like, once again, 1900, turn of the century, were from Yidden. They looked from Yidden. They were wearing long kapotas, and Sorry, just 1 second. That's my ADD at play. I just got a thing here that distracted me. They were from Yiddin who came and didn't make major changes. They didn't come to make radical changes, you know, going from Shabbos, because no one would listen to them. They came with very subtle shifts in Emunah. And what they started with was they started questioning Torah Misina. First he got rid of his Malchus Shemaim. But like Achim he came, he easily know he could say it. Chazal he came there a chet ze, v'alei him kosfu. We know the Chazal explained it like this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the famous Gemara says like this, Yoidin hayi Yisrael v'avoidus kechovim, she'ein bo mamash. The Yidin knew that the worship of the stars, there was nothing to it. The truth is that's not true, but there is something to it. It's not called Elohim Acherim for nothing. They're called Elohim, the other gods. They're not called nothing. They're called one thing. But that's not our discussion now. But the Yidden knew that they didn't have any of their own independent power. They were also told about Kodesh Baruch Hu. The mazalos and the influences of the stars and whatever they were just as dependent on Hashem as we are. So why are we relying on them? So that's what Gemara says. Yoidim HaYisrael Baveris Kacham Shein Bamamash. So what were they dabbling? What were they involved in? What was Zorah for? Because what they really wanted was Arias. but the Kozman you're asked from Yid, so Arias is not, there's a Klal or Shaykh. What do you want to talk about? You're a Kodesh Baruch Hu said no. So what do? You find somebody else to worship, and you start going after Vodah Zorah. And slowly, slowly, the Emunah in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not that there's not Kodesh Baruch Hu, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu kind of like handed over the Shlita to other Koichuses, and those Koichuses don't mind a rice so much. So now you've matted for yourself a rice. That's a Gemara, that's Chazal's telling you this principle. Claimer. Yunei achlofes ha'emunah ha'amitis b'derech muzuyafes. Without swapping proper, genuine Emunah with something forged, with a forged version, Yisraelohim usugolim b'shum oifen lechtoi. Klal Yisrael couldn't be choyter. Otpam, that doesn't mean everyone's a perfect tzaddik that never died of virus. Avada people are going to, we have bechira, that we need to do tshuva. Avada there's going to be a virus, but never this concept of I'm just going to do whatever I want. Ulam ruach hashtus shel ha'odem hizbo shiyishne das achere shebechesusoy muti elo lasis kolo ila ruchem. Ruach Shtus says that the person doesn't do an Avera. Actually, Nichnas Ruach Shtus. First has to come into his head a Ruach Shtus. After there's a Ruach Shtus, that's what causes a person to do an Avera. The Ruach Shtus here is that you can do whatever you want, even Arias, because really your Emunah has been eroded. That was what it used to be. It used to be a Ruach Shtus, and then a person did an Avera. That doesn't apply today across the board. We'll explain that that's changed quite radically. And the path to the derech to chet is much shorter and much quicker and much easier. Let's see how he deals with that.
But we cannot.
Just hold 1 second. I'm coming to you now, Mr. Timon. That doesn't mean that today we don't have a Ruach Shtus. We have a massive Ruach Shtus. Every kid today who's walking around confused and is not keeping Shabbos and is what they call off the derech, whatever that ridiculous phrase means, but whatever, is that's just one big Ruach Shtus. He's trapped in a Ruach Shtus. He knows what's right. There's one big Ruach Shtus. He's a Tinik Shanishpa. He can't. Onus Legamre. Onus Legamre. I'm not saying that the God Lador says. So that's the idea. Okay, yes, Mr. Tsukuman, how are you?
The problem is not we put the priority in the goof, that means all the effort, all the core of the Ben Adam, it's in the goof, in the materiality. It's the Greek view. That means we have to put everything inside, and in consequence, all the spiritual side is secondary or even is ignored. And then we arrive at this fact that means it's practically automatically done. If you make too much for the goof, you have no room for the spiritual, for the neshama.
So what you're saying is that's the cause or that's the result?
It's the
I'm
cause.
Discussing the cause of the problem, and I think if I'm understanding you properly, what I'm hearing is the result. The reason why the goof becomes more important than the neshama is because you've lost touch with what the neshama is. And therefore you start going off to the gashmias. That's the only thing I think we're differing here. I'm seeing what you're seeing, I'm seeing that as a result. How did it come about that the yidden started being pursuing all the taivas of goof when they never did before? Well, how did that happen? It must be they lost touch with the Jewish she'ifas and started going off to the Gosher she'ifas. I think so. I think so. Okay, we have to see. I think he's going to discuss it. He's going to discuss it more length now. But I hear what you're saying. But you are. I mean, what you're saying, whether it's the cause or the result, the idea itself is 100% correct. Binyan ha-guf stimul le-nefesh, or chuban le-nefesh. Chazal say that. The building of the guf is a chuban to the neshama. Now, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to build the goof. You have to go after the goof. You have to take care of it. Without the goof, we can't do anything. Without the goof, you're just a bit of neshama flying around in Gan Eden, which is very pleasant and nice. And that's not why we came down here. That's why you have to look after your goof. You have to look after. How do we need the goof? And not only that, but as we've mentioned many times, the ikar avoda of a Jew is to take the gashmias and not avoid it. We don't run away from the gashmias. We don't become monastic. We don't become monastic people. We live in a physical world, and we have to engage the physical world. The difference is we have to use it properly. We have to use the physical world to build the ruchniastik, to elevate it, and that's the subtle difference in a chinami. But you're right. When the goof starts becoming the priority, so then there's no place for the neshama. Whether that's a consequence or a cause, I can't tell you. I poshut can't tell you. I just have to stop here for 1 second, if you don't mind. Just give me 1 second. I'm sorry.
Hello, everyone. What page are we on in the English version of the Sefer?
Sorry about that, Rabois. I just had to, we're all working from home. So, the English Sefer of Ephraim, I don't know. If anyone's got an English Sefer, if they can help Rabbi Ephraim, tell him what page we're on. We're in chapter 9, if you're interested, and we're about 2 pages into chapter 9. Okay. Fine. Sorry about that. That shouldn't happen, but what can I tell you?
Page 145.
Page 145. Everybody got that? Okay, cool. Fine. So very good. That's a well taken point. The interplay between the ruchnias and gashmias. The question we have to see going forward is what causes what. It seems that we start letting go of our ruchnias. That's the oivad avodah zara, in order to engage in the physical. It's not that we're engaging in the physical, therefore we don't have spiritual, but that does obviously cause it. The more you get involved in the physical, the less room there is for spiritual. Okay. So today we have a situation and quite differently. Let's have a look. I'm on Kuf Tes Zayin. Hayom olo livatze matzav shebo yudia mami b'metzias Hashem. Today you have a situation where a person is he's mami b'metzias Hashem. Mami b'schav oinesh. You go through the Yud Gimel Ikorim, he has no problems. He gets 100% for all of them. Shavoinesh, Mami Bakol Dibre Chazal, Vafel Pikain, who pirated all the Choyta. We have a guy, we know this person very well. He's Mami, the Yud Gimel Ikorim. He's a Mami from Yid, and yet he's pirated all Echil Choliot. What happened to the fact that first you have to go to Varazara to mati yourself a rice? Today you don't. Today you can be a the Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and yet there's still prekasol. Echzer korel. What's going on here? Buchazi may amadava. Tzav v'sholes oisim yidin ha'im yesh hezbe b'fichem. Well, ask them, you can explain this to me. Tomu shema einem mamin min v'ashem? Chas v'laske. He asked them. Rav Taber told me he had files and files of people that had this was the problem. You ask them, maybe don't even believe in Hashem, maybe don't believe in Hashem. Chas v'chalila, what are you talking about? Yudhi ma'aminim b'ay ma'aminim ma'ayma. We ma'amashir, what are you talking about? Generations of ma'aminim. Tom Roshem ha'ini yoidim sh'osen inoig b'derech bo ha'im noigim. Tishma ulai, maybe you haven't heard, maybe you're shogin, maybe you haven't heard that this is, you know, that, you know, this is awesome. V'ki adam v'chayti achshav. Gam z'ayna nachon, bo ha'ashem. D'reini yoidim godlu. Our generation is well learned, very learned generation. There's never been a proliferation of knowledge, information, that these today, you, no one can say, well, I didn't know because how could I find out? It's all over the place. We know a lot more than previous generations knew. We're in the golden age of proliferation of Torah today. Here's one or other misery, depression, unfulfilled aspirations. He's down on himself, and therefore he just doesn't have the koyach to meet Moded against, to withstand the nisoinus, the taivas, and the incredible strength and pull of the Yetzirah that pushes off them in the notion of Chazal, like a horse pursuing in war, like a horse who's running into a war. Chosar Eloisim Yudim B'Sochechi Libom Nekudas Avram Avinu V'Sholom. The way he puts it is they're lacking the Nekudah of an Avram Avinu V'Sholom. Chosar Elohim HaKorah B'Chashivas HaAtzmis. They're lacking an understanding of who they are. They're lacking a true proper evaluation of who they are. Chashivas Amida Haitana B'Nisyonis. That understanding of who you are would give you the Kalim to withstand the Nisyonis. And we have no idea how important it is to Hashem that we don't do the survey. We don't understand it. We don't know. We don't understand anything about our relationship with Hashem and why it would be important to Hashem and who cares and what does Hashem care if I just do this? It's so small. You look at how big the we're confused in that area. This tzivoy that we have. I don't know how many people, when you learn this with the people, some people look at me and say, I know what you're talking about. V'yigba libe b'darche Hashem. Just translate the words. V'yigba, gaiva, loshon, to lift up, dover, to have a sense of pride. B'darche Hashem, in the fact that you're walking the ways of Hashem. Who are chosel libnei doren, completely missing from this generation. Ilu ayinu ma'amatzim oto, if we would build it, strengthen it. Rabbi Mitochenu are you always doing always with Tatsuma Islamoid, but Vuru Veloli, Pachot, this there, Lastasa Sayetza. A lot of people would have what it takes in order to be able to withstand the terrible seductions of the Yetzirah. Okay, so that's part of the problem. We'll Mitzashem, we'll build this a little bit bigger tomorrow, and then we'll start looking at how we address this. What are the Kalim we need to withstand this terrible new Nisoin that we're going through? And it's a real serious problem, and each day just gets worse and worse. When I first heard some of the stories, I'm talking over 20 years ago, that he was telling me, Mamish, I couldn't believe it. And those stories are mild compared to some of the stuff I heard the last time I met him. It was about a year and a half ago, and he told me some things that Mamish made my skin crawl. Along this kind of stuff of good Hamish or Frum Jews or whatever that you would never think, and yet there was a complete precursor, and you would never know. Things that I remember when I was a mashgiach, I had a lomumlatz, not a good idea, but for a certain tikkuf in my life, I happened to be a mashgiach in an American yeshiva here in Yerushalayim. And I remember I could tell what the boys were doing the night before by how they behaved the next morning. You could see in davening already who was out drinking the night before, who was how they learned in the morning seder. You could tell straight away. You knew exactly where they were. There was no doubts. The Bocha started your reading and he's learning. You knew you had to go speak to him and find out where he is at night. Today you would never know. you would never know. You have to be memtish arit tumet mat, and the next morning you're steiging away like a best boch in yeshiva. You don't know. You have no idea. And that's a very difficult design that we're grappling with, and that's something that keeps changing and getting worse and worse. And we have to find, at least for ourselves, we can't help anybody else, we have to first see ourselves where we fit into this picture. Sometimes it's more subtle, it's not that a person's fuming is out there doing a mentesh aritum, but no, be more subtle. Just even in the way we feel about ourselves. How do we relate to ourselves? How do we feel about ourselves? Are we ready simply with to flavor about ourselves? Okay, so that has to be Imatz Hashem tomorrow. We have to continue with that. Good. Have a good day. Take good care. If there's any questions, I'll happily take them now. Otherwise, cheers.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, sir.